We're now in Easter time as such, up until Pentecost. In the first reading from the Acts, you see, the church wants us to reflect, because we are also the fruit of the resurrection of Jesus. And so they've just been threatened by the rulers of the people. You preach like that again and we'll put you in jail. And so they went back and told everybody else. And when they heard it, they raised their voices to God with one accord and said, "Sovereign Lord, maker of heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, you said by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, your servant, why do the Gentiles rage and the prophets, peoples, entertain fully?" I'm sorry, that line reads, "And the peoples entertain folly. The kings of the earth took their stand and the princes gathered together against the Lord and his anointed." Now that's from Psalm 2. And they're now applying it to Jesus, the anointed, the king. But the Gentiles, but the peoples entertain folly. That's their own people entertaining folly and resisting Jesus, the Son of God. And so the prayer goes on. "Indeed, they gathered in this city against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed, Herod and Pontius Pilate, together with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do what your hand and your will had long ago planned to take place. And now, Lord, take note of their threats. They're after us now." And as they prayed, the place where they gathered shook. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. One of the signs of the presence of the Spirit is that people are not deterred by threats. Now, we're starting now sort of a sacramental economy. We'll have the teaching on baptism. And then, as we go through the rest of Easter time, we'll also do John 6, the teaching on the Eucharist. Why? Because those are the fruits of Easter. When our Lord says, "Unless you be born of water and the Holy Spirit," can you imagine? Our Lord is saying, unless you get baptized with that water, you will not have life eternal. Now, he makes exceptions for all those who have never heard of him. But you see, why would he institute sacraments? Did you ever think about that? We have water. We have laying on of hands. We have wine and bread. We have all these gestures and material things that mediate the life of God. Why? Well, several reasons. One that St. Thomas points out, we're bound by our senses. If all of this were so spiritual, we couldn't have something. Were you baptized or not? Well, I know I am because I feel the Holy Spirit in me all the time. That's fine. But you suppose you don't know that. Then how do you find out? You call up the parish and say, "Will you look and see if I'm baptized?" It's real, it's physical, it's human. That's the law of the incarnation. So now we have Nicodemus. "We know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you are doing unless God is with him." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." What does that mean? Why does he say that here? You see, he's going to clarify it in a minute. Born of water and the Spirit. But born from above starts by hearing the word and your heart moving toward it. We just finished celebrating all that last Sunday, Saturday night actually. All those people who heard the Lord and came and were prepared to receive, to be born of water and the Spirit. That's the way God works. Now, our Lord says then, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, water and Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom. What is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of Spirit is Spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you, you must be born from above. The word anothen, the Greek word, can mean from above and over again. On purpose. John uses that word to remind us of both aspects of being born again. And then he has this little parable. The wind blows where it wants. Right? You can hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with the Spirit. What does that mean? When the Holy Spirit works, you know it. But you can't predict it. You can't control it. You can't even figure out where he comes from. But you know when he works. Sometimes it's something very deep inside you personally. Sometimes, you know, there's a huge wind and tongues of fire and 5,000 people gather. And nowadays we have so many signs. There are these people preaching and thousands are healed. That's mercy. And so, what do we do about this? We have to learn to listen to the Spirit and do what he tells us. And that means not only a life of prayer, but a life of obedience. The Holy Spirit will move us to come to a place where we can hear him. But we have to obey when that happens. We have to move. I've used the example before. Our Lord is like a baseball coach. You know, before the season, and he's standing there between home plate and first, and he's knocking out grounders to the infielders. And how many do they get? See, he's speaking to us all day. That's what it means to be born of the Spirit. How many do we get? How many do we obey? Obedience is the key to receptivity. If we obey, then we'll be more receptive to everything else he wants to tell us.